Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, do ghosts like listening to our podcast? One listener thinks so and has compelling evidence that we may not only be popular with the living, but the dead as well.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Find on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, support our program. If you like listening to it, this is a listener-supported show. At $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. There are nearly 300 of them now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. In addition to that, you also get access to our regular episodes in advance of their regular release date, weeks in advance, and they're ad-free for you. Plus, you also get, I've thrown in this, the e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, which is available on Amazon if you want to purchase it for about 10 or 15 bucks. And the audiobook, which is out on Audible as well now, too. But you get that for free. All that for being an EPP. $5 a month to get all that. And I feel like I'm kind of doing an infomercial and a juicer. And you also get a set of Ginsu knives. And I'm kidding about those last two, but you do get the audience.
Tony, I'd sure love that juicer.
But wait, there's more. For a limited time only, I'm going to throw in a set of three twin kittens. These are kittens that are actually twins.
Oh my God. Do you know how much I would love that?
I don't know how you have twin three cats. Isn't twin implies two?
But I would love it. I love cats.
Triplets. Yeah.
I did see somebody post on the Real Ghost Stories group page, I think it was,
yeah,
about how much they just became an EPP and how excited they were.
That's
awesome.
By
the time I'm saying this, that was a couple weeks ago. But that made me really happy when I saw that.
I do like those. In fact, I think I saw that, and I think they even emailed me as well saying, I went to the group page and posted how much I love the show. I hope that's okay. I'm like, yes, thank you. So, no, it's always nice to hear positivity. So often you hear negativity. And honestly, not a ton on this. Every once in a while you get something. But, you know, for the most part, this has been the most positive broadcast experience of my life. Doing a podcast. working in commercial radio, you'd get positivity. Especially at the station that I was at last, where you are, it was very positive for the most part. Yeah. But there's still, you know, there's still an element where there's always somebody's going to complain about something. But very little with this, so it's nice. I think it's because, you know, when you're here and you're listening, you're here for a reason. You're here because you want this content. You want to talk about ghosts. This is, you know, it's kind of like it's more of a community than it feels like a show.
Yeah.
That's That's my little soapbox. So thank you guys for all the support over the years. We're entering year 6, I believe Jenny said the other day. I lose track of how many years this thing's been going.
That doesn't seem possible because I remember when you started it.
Yeah, so do I. It just feels like it started in my little office 2 houses ago. Yeah. Just on a whim, like, let's see what happens. And yeah. It was just kind of an experiment. Was I doing this when I was still working in radio? Did I start it already? Okay.
You had just started it.
Okay. And I just didn't know what the hell was going to happen with it. And then, yeah, it was just going to be a hobby when I got off the air there. Because it was like, I'm going to kind of miss being on the air. Let's see what happens. And here we are all these years later. So exciting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go over to our first story, our first letter of the day. It says, I wanted to share a couple of stories that happened to me as a child. My mom has backed this story up with what she remembers, too. I was little. I'm pretty sure I was 2, since my sister wasn't born yet and we're 2.5 years apart. This was while we lived in Grass Valley, California, gold mining town in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. All I remember is it being nighttime and I was playing on the floor and I happened to look up and see in the sliding glass door something terrible. I don't remember what it was wearing, but I do remember the face being very scary. The eyes were black, the face sunken in, and lots of teeth, and whatever it was, I know was a grown adult was staring at me, smiling. I remember wanting my mom so bad and screaming. My mom was shocked that I remember that night since I was so little. She said she won't forget that night too, since my dad was in the Navy and away at the time, and she just turned on Jeopardy and settled in on the couch, and her cat Smokey was on the couch with her, and you can see the backyard through the sliding glass door. Anyway, right before I started screaming, Smokey the cat all of a sudden jumped up from the couch and was instantly hissing, spitting, and arching his back, looking straight at the sliding glass door. In the middle of this, I started screaming. She picked me up while I was pointing at the door and she didn't see anything at all, but it terrified her and we moved out a few months later. My next story, I'm now 5 and my sister and I live with my grandparents at this time. My mom and dad are divorced and my mom was having a difficult time adjusting. My grandparents' house is in the same town, only in the outskirts, what is known as Alta Sierra. They moved from Southern California and built their house brand new, so it's new, but things always happen there. This day, I'm in my bedroom playing with my sister. She went to get something, and while she's gone, I hear a voice from our closet calling out my cousin's name, Maylene. I stop what I'm doing, and I look at the closed closet and hear it again. It says, Maylene, come here. I know I yelled, I'm not Maylene, and ran out of the room screaming and crying. My grandpa checked everywhere, and of course, nothing was found. What's really weird is it sounded like my uncle's voice, who is not Maylene's dad. This uncle still lived in Southern California. Very strange. Of course, after that, my sister and I only played in this room together, and Muffin and the Siamese cat had to sleep with us every night. I have lots of stories, thanks to the podcast, and one day, I hope to be an EPP member. Always interesting recounting childhood haunting experiences.
Well, that grossed me out. I don't want to ever see anything with a lot of teeth. There's something about a lot of teeth that really grosses me out.
Even in people who smile,
like
they're
fish,
like
the fish that have like double sets of teeth, I can't.
Yeah.
That's so gross. So when she said lots of teeth, that's what was in my head. But that's interesting that she remembered that, but that her mom remembered that too. Because mm-hmm. I have discovered that my mom remembers very little. And so, we were having a conversation just the other day. And I'm like, you don't remember anything. But the fact that her mom would remember that time, but she didn't really say that her mom had seen it, did she? Or no. Did she just remember her freaking out.
She remembers the night and the animals reacting to something.
Yeah. See, once again, I think that kids can somehow see things that we can't see. And then you kind of grow out of it. But it sounds like those things have continued. Mm-hmm. So I would like to hear more.
Yeah, I would too. It's always interesting when you're recounting something. You would think in a situation like this, when it's super paranormal, that as a parent, you would remember that night. There's a ton of shit I forget that the girls will be like, remember when we did this? I'm like, no. And it was like 3 weeks ago or a year or two ago. But like when you're little, your memory is like, it's just a rolling tape. There's nobody stopped anything. Nothing's been erased on it yet. You know, there's no interference. It's just rolling and everything stays there. And then as you get older, I think it gets a lot more jerky in terms of what it's remembering.
Well, then I think as you get older, you just forget all those things that happened as a kid. Like, yeah. I don't really remember kindergarten. No. I don't know if anybody does, but I don't.
I remember a lot of stuff from being a kid. I remember more about being a kid than I do remember about last year, quite honestly. I don't know what it is. It's
thank God for Facebook memories, because I have remembered a lot of things that I had forgotten.
I use that as my brain sometimes too.
Right.
When I'm trying to pinpoint a date of something, of like, what date was that or what year was that?
And then
all
of a sudden, oh, boom, Facebook memories.
Yep.
Now I remember. But I think that other strange thing was, why would a ghost be calling for her cousin that wasn't even there?
Yeah.
Like, does a ghost really get you confused with your cousin? I guess, you know, you could screw up in the afterlife. I could be like, Tony. Oh, you're not Tony.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I guess you could do that. You just never hear that.
I think the answer is yes.
Kind of equal opportunity terrorists.
Well, I think the answer is yes to that. I think there's a lot of times we put this like infallible ability onto ghosts because they're dead. I think that's more of the fairy tale of ghosts, where it's like, oh, they're dead. They must know everything now and they can do anything too. I think they're just as handicapped as we are in life on things, where it's like, if you don't have good memory, you're not gonna have the greatest memory then. If you are easy to call someone the wrong name in life, you're easy to call them the wrong name in death. You know, I think it's very much, it's like what you were here is what you're going to be there, except probably it'll be a little more frustrating because it's going to be more difficult to communicate. And then when you do, you better get it right. Otherwise, your fuck up is just, oh, you fucked up. There's your chance to communicate. Good luck next time.
Well, because it'd just be kind of funny. Like, you're laying in bed and you're, Brenda. And I'm like, wrong house. I tell you this every night.
Yeah.
Ain't no Brenda here. But Maylene?
Yeah.
Nobody is named Maylene.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's obviously your cousin. Brenda could be any number of people.
Yeah.
But if it's like, if somebody said Doreen, that's my cousin. There's not a lot of Doreens. You know, I'd be like, wrong house, go haunt her. But so that's kind of interesting to me.
And being the voice of the uncle that, from what we can tell in the story, is not dead. This is the voice that it sounded like. I wonder if it had something to do, because we've heard this too sometimes, of people almost astral projecting themselves somewhere in their dream. They're not a dead, but they're somehow their entity, their ghost or whatever you want to call it, their spirit is in a different location. Could it have been something of that nature where he was?
Yeah, that's so hard for me to wrap my brain around that one.
The stuff,
I have no problem with that, but that, I'm alive and I'm here. And that's kind of like a weird time travel thing.
It's a weird one. I've told you the story of the lady that had visited the campfire, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay. That's the one that put it into the most perspective for me and really kind of made me go, okay, I think I get this.
You might share that again, though, since you just brought it up.
Yeah, I will.
Other people going, back to that story.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stories I overshare. I don't know if this is one of them, but I'll share it quickly. It's a woman had called into the show or wrote in, I believe, and she had a dream that she was visiting her childhood home. and the woods out back where they had campfires as a children, as a child. And in this dream, she was walking down the path towards the campfire spot. And in the dream, she's kind of creeping up on it. And she sees there's a campfire going in a family around the fire, roasting marshmallows and talking and just doing what families do around campfires. You know, sacrificing pets. No, they weren't doing that. But she creeps up on them and she just watches. And she's finding this interesting because this is her childhood area where she grew up and had many fond memories of herself, wondering, why am I not seeing my family? Why am I not seeing people I know in this scene, in this dream? So it was kind of a lucid dream. She was very much conscious it was a dream that she was visiting this spot, but not thinking like, I'm really there. Then a child that's sitting by the campfire looks and sees her and goes, Mom, Dad, there's a ghost lady right there. And then right after that, she kind of snaps out of this dream, wakes up in her bed and goes, that was a weird dream. A couple weeks later, she's in that part of town where this house was that she grew up at. And much like the Miranda Lambert song, she goes and knocks on the door and starts singing The House That Built Me, except in her own way. If I remembered the lyrics, I would start singing it, but I don't. So she says, you know, hey, you know, this is a house that I grew up in. I'm just, you know, just curious, you know, what's it like these days? And a woman answers the door, says, oh, I understand. And then the child comes over and then she's starting to connect the dots going, oh my God, these people look kind of familiar. Oh my God, that's the kid from the dream. And the kid goes, Mom, that's the woman that was the ghost the other night back by the campfire. And that was the account.
That's freaky.
It is. But it's one of those things where it goes, oh, you don't have to be dead to be a ghost. Now, I want to sign up for that. I don't know how the fuck I get on that list. But I think that sounds pretty awesome. I'd love to start haunting people ahead of time.
But that would scare me because I would think I'm going to die. That would be my takeaway. Obviously, I'm getting ready to die.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't die as far as I know. It seems to be something that people can do, which makes you wonder how many hauntings and how many things that are going on where it's not clearly someone who is dead, where we can identify that. We're just like, I don't know who this is, but they seem to be here. How much of that is, in fact, the living manipulating things and they're not even aware they're doing it? I've had one dream in my life that I don't know. It's hard because there's the term lucid dreaming where you realize you're dreaming and it seems very real. I have that all the time. I almost every time when I'm dreaming, I know I'm dreaming. But then there's like a type of dreaming where it's just like, holy shit, this is real. This really feels, you can smell, you can hear, you can taste. And that's not every dream. And I had one dream like that a couple years ago. I don't nap much ever, but I don't know if I was feeling not good or whatnot. I was recording the show actually in the our cabin when we had it, and I was not feeling great. I laid down and took a nap, and I had this dream. I was in my backyard, my childhood backyard, and I was just standing around, looking around, and I could hear the wind, and I could see the leaves, like, individually blowing. I could smell the air, and it was like I was there, but it was the middle of the day, too, and I was napping in the middle of the day, and I almost question, did I transport myself there? Because I've never had a dream that felt that vivid. I mean, I woke up from it going, holy shit, it really feels like I was just in my backyard, and I mean, it looked just like it does if I were to go visit it today. And it was just, it was weird. And there was nothing, no events that happened. I didn't see anybody. I didn't talk to anybody. But the elements that I felt in it were much more authentic than anything I'd ever had in a dream. And there wasn't any real meaning to it either. Nothing happened. There was nothing that, you know, it was just weird. So
you did it, but there was no kid around. Go look.
No, I know. I wish. Totally great to freak out my parents' neighbors.
You got to figure this out. You got to do it when people are around.
I know, because my parents don't really like one of their neighbors right now, too. So it would have been great. I could have freaked them out and made them think their house was haunted. And then I show up to visit. They're like, that's the asshole. That's the ghost. I'm like, yes, you're right. It is. I figured out how to haunt you.
So. No, you don't. Don't do that. Act like they're absolutely crazy. What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, but you should call into my show.
Arkansas.
Be great. It would be great. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's ways of doing these things. I don't know that we can, anyone's really harnessed it very well yet as to doing it on demand, but I think it happens. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, hey guys, I read in twice before with stories about my sisters and my ghost friends when we were children. I'm writing to you today because something hilariously creepy happened last night. I was driving home from work listening to your show like normal, and it was the episode where the one gentleman thought your show was haunted and attracting spirits to him when he listens to it. Well, when I got home, I had set my phone on our coffee table, changed, sat next to my husband, and we were talking about how I know I left the AC on for the dog, and he was saying it wasn't on when we got home. This had been happening for a little while now. I know I'm forgetful, but not so bad when it comes to my dog. He's my baby. Then suddenly, in the middle of the exchange, my cell phone lit up, and your show, Real Ghost Stories Online, randomly started playing. Now, I have an iPhone. However, I do not have Siri set up. No one mentioned the name of your show, and no one said, hey, Siri. There was no reason for the podcast to start playing. My husband got freaked out and said he was going to get rid of the antique trunk we bought in an antique fair to hold all my books because we've been having small, strange things happen since we bought it, but I refused to get rid of it because where else will my books go? Part of me, the very nervous part of me, thinks it may have something to do with me currently reading House of Darkness, House of Light by Andrea Perrin. Makes me... Parts of me feels like by reading it, I'm inviting the evil entities to me. The logical part of my brain knows that can't be true, but the paranormal loving and fearing side of my brain says that it is the reason. The other happenings are my knowing that I had turned the AC on for my dog before leaving for work and having my husband tell me it was off when we got home. We do have a spare key to the apartment on our porch, but it's in a lockbox, and the people who know the code are in high school or drive a truck and have their own dogs to attend to after work. The other thing is that my dog doesn't like our shower, only because we drag him in there to give him a bath, and it's one of those small stall showers with the bubbles glass door. They're creepy, I hate them too, but normally when either my husband or myself go in for a shower, we'll lay down outside the door and wait for us. Well, this time I went in for a shower and he was standing there staring at the shower and he looked different. He was looking at the shower and his demeanor gave off an angry vibe like he was scared or upset that I was in there. I personally hate those showers because they distort everything and it makes you feel like you see movement when you're not. But as soon as I got out, he was fine. Cuddled up right next to me. It's not much of a story. I didn't see any apparitions or anything, but they are strange occurrences. Thank you for your show. I love it. I listen every day, and I plan to become an EPP soon. And I should note that while reading that story, my phone, the Siri picked up on it and then started transcribing everything I was saying from that part of the show on forward. And now it just says thinking ...
See, I think we were just innocent bystanders.
Yeah.
But... You know, like, here's what I don't get. I don't like, that's part of the reason why I don't like antique-y things to bring them in my house because I just get weird vibes off of things.
Yeah.
So if they're feeling weird about this antique, what was it? Some trunk or something?
Yeah, it was something. I don't remember the exact name.
But then
it's
like, where would I put my books? In a box. You could put your books anywhere. Put your books on the floor in some stacks. But I don't like, that's just creepy to me. So if you're getting a weird vibe off of something, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Number one. And then you can't blame us. Like, we're not being haunted.
Well, I think she wasn't blaming us. There was that other episode where someone was thinking, and I've heard this too before, where some people believe that I think it gets it kind of mixed up with the idea of like calling out spirits by using a Ouija board or something.
Let me get my thoughts straight. I don't think that that was necessarily creepy that the show came on. Mm-hmm. Anything that she was listening before would have come on. But the fact that her phone just started playing it, like, you know, maybe she was listening to Lizzo before and then all of a sudden Lizzo starts playing. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever she'd been listening to, now I think it's weird that her phone turned on.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been playing anything. Like I did that. I've done that before, like got in my car, plugged in my phone, and then it starts playing a podcast that I was listening to. Then I forgot. And I'm like, what the hell?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that she's at home and it just started, you know, that's a little creepy.
It is. And it's interesting that they're talking about the idea of ghosts and then the fact that our show is the one that popped on. Yeah. You know, and maybe, you know, of course, like you said, you know, if it was going to pop on, whatever was previously playing is going to start playing. But I wonder if something saw that as an opportunity of like, here, I'm going to show that I am here. And what a great way to do it. You have a ghost podcast all queued up. All I have to do is press play. And it's not going to be Lizzo. It's going to be the ghost podcast. So fuck yeah, I'm pressing play.
And my fault.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have never listened to Lizzo. So
I love Lizzo.
I don't know shit about current music. I stopped listening to current music years ago.
Oh my God, I love her. She says what she wants.
Really?
And like, she's just her. And I just love her.
I feel like I've turned into an old man. Because I remember like working in Top 40 radio when I was a teenager going, and my dad being like, you're playing the Goo Goo Clusters? Or, you know, like, yeah, it's a candy bar band. Candy. You know, and I was thinking like, you know, I'm never going to like not be in touch with, you know, what's popular in music. And here I am, same age. No fucking clue. Like, I'm looking at the artist names of half the stuff now that's in mainstream Top 40 radio. And I'm just like, where the fuck did the idea of like having a real name go? Why does everybody have to have some moniker that's basically like an emoji or just like shortened like text words? There was the rapper the other day that passed away. And I'm like, what's his name? Is this mean like world or what? It's missing a letter. Like, what the fuck does this mean? And I just sounded like
there are no vowels.
I sound like an 84-year-old man. And I made some horrible joke because what was his name? I'm just don't listen to popular music.
So I don't think I heard.
And I got to look this up because there's so many listeners going, oh my God, especially the younger folks. Hey, 10 years ago, I would have been right on it. Okay. I can talk all day about 50 Cent and Tupac and, you know, what you would consider gold, or classics, but, I'm not up on what's going on now. Let's see here. Juice WRLD, Juice WRLD. Is his name. So rest in peace, Juice WRLD. But I didn't know. I'm
not familiar with that person.
The only thing I recognized was that he sampled a Sting song in one of his recent albums. I think he sampled Fragile. And I think I went, oh, I think I heard that. I kind of liked that because I like when they sample real music. and that was like, that's kind of cool. But yeah, I don't know what happened, but he passed away. But I didn't know, like, WRLD is how the last name is spelled. So I'm like, what is this? Are these call letters? So,
yeah. Can't have a word without a vowel in it.
Sure, my mom was like, what the fuck is a Tupac? You know, but that was his real name. It was T-U-P-A-C. In a lot of the albums, it was the number two and then Pac. It's kind of a cool way of spelling it at the time. But it is what it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our next caller and hear a ghost story. Hi.
Hey, Tony. It's Samir. Left you a story which you guys featured about Switzerland a little while ago. Thank you for that. Love your show. You guys have both said, well, first off, I love that you said if you ever need a day off, you know, I could fill in for you. But that being said, I have a few more stories. The one I'm going to talk to you about today took place in a town called Rye, New York. It's in the suburbs of New York, about 30 miles out of Manhattan, roughly. It's where I grew up, and typical suburbia. If you ever seen the movie Big, Playland, where they filmed it, the whole switching places thing, that's where it took place. So that's my little slice of Americana hometown. So I'm going to tell you a story about when I was, probably 16 or 17 years old. So while it's suburbs, it's still pretty, pretty populated. Back then, I'd say around 16,000-17,000 people. So it's not like, mountains and stuff. So when I was in high school, my dad would commute to work. Generally, when he worked in Manhattan, my mom would be the one to drop him off at the train station. He took the Metro North into New York, and then she dropped us kiddies off at school. Obviously, when I got my license, that role changed, and one evening, my mom's like, can you start picking Dad up when he gets back from the train station? And normally, he'd get it at like 7:30 p.m., roughly from New York. Anyway. So before the pickup, the night before, I am lying in bed, completely fast asleep, and I have this nightmare where, and it's relatively lucid, and the nightmare starts with me looking out my window. My bedroom was on the second floor, had corner windows. And in the dream, in the nightmare, I look out and I see a figure, best described actually as a bear, but something else, red eyes, red glowing eyes, but claws and a bear is the best I could say. As I mentioned, we weren't in the sticks. There are no bears there. It's, shopping malls and Victoria's Secrets and ice cream shops and stuff like that. We were about on an acre of land, but has solar on. So anyway, in the nightmare, I look out my window and I see this bear creature looking back at me, and I felt this ominous presence where I realized it wanted to get into the house. I didn't know what it wanted to do, but I knew it wanted to get in the house. So I run around the house, closing up all the windows, making sure everything's latched up, making sure everything's okay. We had five bedrooms. And again, as I mentioned, actually three stories, including the basement. And I finally get to the front door, and I realize the door's open. A creature comes through and splashes my stomach, and I look down, and it's just all scratched up, and my intestines are spilling out. Anyway, I wake up, and sweating, massive amounts of pain, realize this is a nightmare, until the point that I sleep with my shirt off, maybe too much information, but I do. I look down, and there are four scratches directly across my belly. Now, in fairness, you could say that I had scratched myself in my sleep. Okay, totally fine. Here's where it gets a little weirder. The next day, I go to pick up my dad from the train station. Probably about 7:30, like I said. And, I was waiting on the train. I got there a little early, and they had these, this is again back in the 90s, but the free newspapers. You can just open up that little plastic box and grab a newspaper. This is pre-iPhones and stuff. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just read something in the paper. So I'm flipping through this free sort of Westchester County newspaper, and they have different sections. One which I always love to read because they're silly things, the police blotter. And I look through that, and there was a little, and I'll see if I can find the articles because I kept it. It said, large grizzly bear or strange creature found at 3 a.m. in Rye, New York. That's where I lived. And that freaked me out. Anyway, listen, thanks for all you guys do. I appreciate you guys featuring my previous story. I promise I'll come back with more. And yeah, look forward to listening to more of you guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thoughts?
What the hell? Like, I don't know. Because I thought that was going to go one direction. Like,
yeah,
I'm having this dream and then I have the scratches. I wake up. What the hell? That's where I thought it was going.
Yeah.
And then they found, like, a weird creature, a bear or something.
Just a bear.
But then, like, the bear wouldn't have gotten in his house.
It makes you wonder. I don't know. I mean, it's, I mean, there's so many possibilities because he's, you go, well, did this bear get into my house and did this happen? You know, or you could look at it another way was, you know, I don't know.
Is he sleepwalking?
Is it a warning? Is he out there dancing with the bear? You know,
I don't know.
Maybe he's making pottery
Kevin
with the
Costner
bear.
Costner would do that. Oh, wait, wolves. But I don't know. That's really strange.
Yeah.
Because in one way, it like, he has the dream, then he reads that, so it sort of connects it, obviously.
Yeah.
That, oh my gosh, maybe this really did happen. But in the other way, how could it have happened?
Yeah.
There really is a creature, but how did the creature get in my room and attack me?
I'm left with more questions than answers on that one as to what happened there and exactly what went down in that that story. Because there's so many possibilities.
Yeah, because when you're hearing the dream, then there's scratches, so mm-hmm. it's some sort of entity thing.
Yeah.
But then it's a real thing. So what the hell is it if it's a real thing?
It's a bear thing.
You know, it doesn't. Bear. Then it takes away that whole. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to think about that one.
I don't know. It's like it's almost like one of those troubleshoot like story problems from high school, and then at the end you figure like,
because he did have a train.
Yeah.
And I don't know what time his dad left the station.
Yeah. It was the dad in a bear suit. That's all it was. Like, wait, oh yeah, connected the dots. Speaking of creatures, the other day it was funny, and I came into the house after this happened, and I said, I think the cat was trying to reenact the ghost pottery scene with me. And I was sitting there, because our cat lives over in the garage area of the house, because I have cat allergies. So he has free reign. He has all his toys, stands. It's like his own room, basically. We don't even put the cars in there. They just kind of, he just kind of goes and does whatever. So I was out there at night, and I was just, you know, saying goodnight. Because I go and say goodnight to the pets, and I tell them I love them and all of that. Kind of tuck them in. I was just kneeling down, and I was talking to the dogs for a second. And then all of a sudden, the cat comes over right behind me, and I just see this paw coming up on my side, and kind of like the cat like did a reach around like he was trying to hug me from the back, and then I see his little head peek around from behind me, and it was like if I was sitting there trying to make a clay pot, it would have been the ghost scene of the cat, and then all of a sudden the Everly Brothers would start playing, or the Righteous Brothers would start playing, and it'd be kind of awkward. But it would be a very touching
awkward
moment.
Yet adorable.
Awkward and adorable. Oh, my cat. Yep. So there you go. That was my my moment of love with my cat the other day. It was very special and creepy all at the same time.
Adorable.
So there you go. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air. We couldn't do the show without you. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.